Welcome to this week's podcast from Gospel Lighthouse Church in Blytheville, Arkansas. Let's welcome Pastor JC, Senior and Lead Pastor of Gospel Lighthouse Church.
Turn with me to the book of Psalms, division 33. Psalms, division 33. This is so powerful. And if you've not been following along, you can go on YouTube and you can catch up on these letters of the Hebrew alphabet. But I want us to look at this word, because this word just is, it just encompasses everything that I believe about God and the power of His word. Psalms 33 and verse 6 says, "By the word," everybody say word, "by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them," look what it says, "by the breath of His mouth." There's not another system. There's not another entity. There's no way Elon Musk can even come close to doing what God has already done with the power of His word. And I will, I'm part of the kind of the astrophysics that goes on, and I'm part of this little club, and I like to read a lot of the things. There are conjectures, and there are things about the Big Bang Theory and different theories that they perhaps have. But I always type when I have an opportunity, throw this, my two cents in, and I tell them the most powerful agent is not fusion. The most powerful element of this is not solar activity from the sun. Whether it's nuclear fission or whatever it may be. Now, the most powerful agent that that man will ever know is the Word of God. Nothing more powerful than God's Word. And we read that the Word, the Bible says, by the Word of the Lord, by the Word of Adonai, God made the heavens. Don't you know that God can speak right now to your life, and He can bring you anything that you need? He's amazing. And all the hosts of them by the breath of His mouth. God, breathe on us tonight. Take your neighbor by the hand as a point of contact. And let's pray tonight as we continue this series, Prophetic Truths about the Hebrew Alphabet. We're going to be with the fifth letter of the Hebrew alphabet, Hey. Father, we love You. We thank You so much for this privilege to be in Your house. We ask that this word will go forth in power and demonstration of Your Spirit, a powerful seed planted in good ground to bring forth much fruit. And Holy Spirit, I thank You for Your healing. I thank You for being here. I felt Your presence tonight. I ask You to continue to lead and guide and direct us. Bring all things back to our remembrance, whatsoever has been spoken, whatsoever has been written. Give us insight for our eyesight. Open our ears that we may hear what You are saying to the church. When we leave this place, we'll bear much fruit and continue to operate in Your gifts. So confirm Your word with signs and wonders. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody says, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. So I always want to recap, and it's been a couple of weeks since we've done this. In fact, it's been last year since we've done this, almost a month ago. And I want to talk to you about the fourth letter, Dalet. Now, the pictograph of the Hebrew letter Dalet, of course, remember, it is the animal hide that's hanging from a door frame. And I always ask the people, when you come right after service, take a photo with your phone of the board there. And that kind of, you know, kind of gives you some reference of where I'm coming from. That kind of, you can look back at it and see. And so Dalet, in my opinion, this letter Dalet is the symbol or points actually to Jesus, who is our Passover lamb. The Hebrew word dat means the door of the cross. And so Exodus 12 and verse 7 says, "And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and upon the upper doorposts of the houses." It's what God was telling Moses to do and the Hebrew children. And then Exodus 12 and verse 13, He says, "And the blood shall be for you a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will what? Pass over you, and a plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." Now, we are in a very tricky time, and I know people have posted, and I just don't want to go that route, but it's worth being said with the mockery that took place at the awards that took place on a Sunday night in California, and they were mocking God. And then that evening, that night, is when the fires began in California. And so, is there a connection? There obviously could be. This nation has turned their heart away from God. And we need to repent. More than just a revival, the church needs to repent. Judgment begins where? Begins the house of the Lord. And so we need to just say, God, I want to be prepared. And this is what he did. He showed us this beautiful sprinkling, or they actually would paint the blood around the doorpost. And these Hebrews were painting the two sides of the post and the upper doorpost of their houses. What does it symbolize? It symbolized, as they were doing this and doing this and doing this, it symbolized the cross. And now the Father, Aleph, which is our Heavenly Father, and Aleph is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, sent his son, Bet, which Bet means son, and by the means of the Holy Spirit, Gemel, who makes appeal to the poor and needy to receive grace and mercy. And so thank God for that. And I know it's hard to follow along if you've not been a part of this tonight, but just hold with me, because I'm going to show you some amazing things tonight in the Word of God. And so God makes this appeal for the poor, for the needy, and to receive grace and mercy. So the first prophetic truth of Dalet, what we've learned, is the symbolization of a needy person who has bent over. And that's what that looked like, that letter looked like. The second prophetic truth about Dalet is the symbolization of a door. And so the Dalet door is a representation of the choice to open the door for ourselves, to the hope of our dreams, or it also can mean to allow it to remain closed off, this door, and be alienated. And so I point out to you what the prophet Hosea said, and this is probably one of the most powerful scriptures. In chapter 2 and verse 15, he said, "And I will give her vineyards from thence, and it says, the valley of Achor for a door of hope, and she shall sing there in the days of her youth, and as in the days when she came out of the land of Egypt." What does that mean? This is what it means. It means the name Achor actually means it's a valley of trouble, a valley of affliction, or even taboo. And so God is making this transition for all of us. He is causing us to, when we're going through the valleys, to receive the hope that he has for us. And so you may be here tonight, and you may be going through trouble. You may be in a valley of Achor yourself, and affliction and trouble or taboo has inflicted you in such a way that it's caused your inner man to be bent over. Have you ever been just hit so hard it seemed like the breath was knocked out of you? How many's been there before? Maybe it was false accusation, or maybe something your child has done, or maybe it was at work, whatever it may have transpired in your life, and you just feel like you're just bent over, you just gut punch, if you will. And so that's that picture of this letter of Dalet. But there's hope for us, because God says tonight that the Dalet door is opening for you, and you're going from being bent over to standing straight up in victory. And this is what's so beautiful, because the very next letter, you go from Dalet to this letter, Hey. And I love this. Look at Psalms 33 and 6. It said, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth." So this fifth letter, and by the way, the number five here, you have this fifth letter and you have the number five, and I'm always including that. Anybody remember what number five represents in the Bible? Remember, it's grace, right? And so number five is grace, and that's that representation. And so hey literally means, and I'm going to have to back up somehow, I guess, and try to fix this a little bit. It's all right. I got it, because I don't want this mic to squeal too much. But hey, and that is would be the modern, and that's how I've been doing, the modern writing of hey, this letter hey. But it literally means to behold or to look, right? And I love this because it's so interesting. And when we look at this looking or behold, there's some prophetic truths about hey. Everybody say hey. So when you say, when you're speaking Hebrew and you say this letter hey, you're going hey. It is breath coming from this lower area out of your bosom, and you're saying, hey, like that. And so the first truth about hey is this. It literally represents divine breath right there. Divine breath, because that's what our scripture says. It says, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. And so this is what's intriguing to me, is that God has this incredible, Brother Benny, God has this incredible feature about himself that when he breathes the word, when he speaks the word, life comes forth. Now think about that. That's exactly what was happening with Adam or Adam. When Adam, in the book of Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. And look what happens next. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of the life. And look what happens. A man became a living, what does it say? Soul. It doesn't say a living body. It says a living soul. So God breathed, the Spirit of God, the Ruach HaKodesh, the breath of the Almighty, breathed upon Adam, and he came to life. And I like what the Talmud says. And by the way, the Talmud is the Jewish civil and ceremonial law. And they say this. They suggest that the breath of God's mouth actually represents the sound of hay, the outbreathing of the Spirit. Now, in my book that is right in the middle, it's toward the end of being finally finished its last edit, and I talk to them once a week, I point out something really intriguing about the recovery of breath in the book that the Lord had given me a few years back. Think about this. The Bible says that Adam heard the voice of the Lord walking in the midst of the garden. Now, how in the world can you recognize or know it was God? How can a voice walk in a garden? How can you recognize it? The only way that Adam knew it was the voice of the Lord was because Adam recognized the day that God brought life to him. Adam heard that word, hey. He understood that. And so it's incredible when you look at that. Number two, the second prophetic truth about hay is this. Now, I'm going a little bit deeper. Just hang with me. The prophetic truth about hay, it represents light. Now, think about this. We have this guy that I drew, and behold, look. So when you get revelation, when you get some information and you didn't realize it, or every time you read the Word of God and something jumps out at you and you've read it 100 times, but then it really jumps out at you, that's because this book is alive and it brings light. Okay? The entrance of thy word brings light. Okay? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, light unto my path. So I love this. Now look at Genesis. Here's the creation story. Chapter 1, verse 3. It says, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day. And the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Isn't it crazy here? Because something is connecting here. God is trying to teach us something about himself. How many times in that creation of light, how many times is it mentioned? In your King James Version of your Bible, how many times is light mentioned in that creation story right there? It's mentioned. Are you ready for this? 5 times. Hey being the 5th letter. So that's why it is the prophetic symbol of light. Now, according to Jewish tradition, these are the Jews teaching this, and this is kind of helping us. Like I said, it's going to get a little deeper, but it's going to help us. There are actually 5 levels of the soul. Now remember, God breathed breath into the man of God. Do you realize that just like that, the breath of God, when the breath leaves your body, that's it. Unless you're hooked on some kind of machine. That's why there was such a fight, and they're still going on, but with COVID, the first thing it would do was take your breath away. Okay, some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. And so there are five levels of the soul according to Jewish tradition. There is the nefesh. Some of you have heard this before. The nefesh is the instincts. The ruach, which is the emotions. The neshama is the mind. The kaya, which is the bridge to transcendence. And then you have the yachidah, which is oneness. Those five things. Now you can write them down, take a picture of it, however you want to. But since the numerical value of hey is five, it corresponds to this. Now, I love this. This only God can do something like this. Like I said, there's not another system that can even come close. It corresponds to the physical level of the five fingers. Everybody do this. Five fingers, right? We could do our toes, but I think everybody's wearing shoes. So you know what I'm saying? The five senses, right? And even the five dimensions, which we're not going to get into tonight. So I love this being grace. I love this thought of light. And so here's this guy, and all of a sudden, behold, look, wake up. You've got revelation. Light is just beaming on you. Now let's go one more time a little bit deeper, and I'm going to tie something into this, all of this together. The third one, the last one. The third prophetic truth about hey is it represents God's presence in the human heart. Now remember, God created us how? In the likeness of him, his image, right? And so God has a heart. We have a heart. God has a heart, okay? Look what Ezekiel 36 and verse 25 says. He says, now this is talking about how God transforms man. He says, then while I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols, will I cleanse you. Now look at verse 26. A new heart. Everybody say a new heart. Also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I'll give you an heart of flesh, and I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. That is an amazing transformation. Only God can do that. There's not a psychologist, a psychiatrist, a therapist, although they're good in their places, right, that can do what God can do. And so a lot of the problems may be spiritual more than just physical or a chemical imbalance. And so when God begins a change, when there's a change of heart, I'm telling you, the greatest evidence of a growing church is a changed life. Doesn't matter how many people are coming, Sister Laura, doesn't matter how many the numbers, none of that, all that's great, but truly, Brother Vernon, and I know you know this, the greatest evidence of a fruitful church, a growing church, a church of maturation, is a church that has changed their heart. People that have a heart truly after God. And so I love this because there will always be fruit to follow. When a heart is changed, there's always to be fruit. Now, look what happens, and I'm going to show you something. We may stay with this for just a few moments. Look at Genesis chapter 17 and verse 1. A lot of things, there's so much prophecy in the book of Genesis, we don't even realize it. Look at Genesis chapter 17 and verse 1. It says, and when Abram, everybody say Abram, so I know you're with me, was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram, say Abram again, this is important, and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, in verse 4, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of what? Many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but shall be called, what is it? Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. So he's gone from Abram to Abraham, right? And I'll make thee exceeding, what's that word? Fruitful. Remember what I said. When God changes the heart, there will always be fruit to follow. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make thee make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. Now this is incredible, because you see something. This significant name change from Abram to Abraham. What was the letter? From Abram to Abraham, what was the one letter? Everybody say it. Hey. It was hey. It was his Hebrew letter, hey. That's just what made the difference. And that is how God prophetically, he not only breathes, he not only sheds light, but the presence, his being is in the human heart. And he brings forth fruit. Now this is incredible to me. But it gets even better. Because look at Genesis 17. Let's read down to verse 15. It says, "And God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son." How old is Sarah? Sarai at the time. Right? She's way up in her years. Okay? In her 80s. And it says, "And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I'll bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her." So what's that significant name change? You got Sarai to Sarah. And again, what was the letter? Tell me what it was. Hey. You cannot tell me the word of God is not powerful. That is just one letter of the Hebraic alphabet, a prophetic truth about God's word. Now, if you got somebody in your life that says, "Oh, show me proof that God exists," there's one word you can say to them. No? One word you can say to them. Living proof that God exists. Israel. No other word, no other nation. Israel is the greatest proof of the existence of God. And if God can protect Israel the way he has for, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands, the day when, what I just read you, if God can protect Israel from Genesis 17 and on, don't you believe that God can do the same for you, your family, this nation? As long as we support Israel. The moment we stop supporting Israel is the moment we open ourselves up for destruction. Now, only God has that ability to create a letter. It's so amazing that he has divine power to breathe light in the human heart and to create a new person. This is what the New Testament says about it. The Apostle Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, one of my favorite scriptures, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." What happens? Old things are passed away. What's that word? Behold. Behold. Look. All things become new. So how do I apply this to my life? Well, I think the best way to make true application of this message is to, as we've been doing, view the Hebrew letters, hey, in its ancient form to proclaim its biblical truth. So, this, if Moses was here, say Moses showed up. Oh man, here comes Moses. And he saw, and he was going to write out the letter, hey. This is what Moses would have written. He would have written this right here. That would have been the hey for Moses. Before Moses, which would have been the pre-Canaanite times, that would be what hey would have looked like. But now we know from our modern writing of the Hebrew alphabet, that's what hey would look like. And so I find that really intriguing. And so that's what this would look like years ago. Thousands of years ago. And so, but if we really truly want to see, remember, this is prophetic truths of the Hebrew alphabet. If we really want to see the biblical truth, we need to see the pictograph. And now remember, the pictograph is a symbol or a sign for a letter or for a word. It's important, like I've been saying, these pictographs, word pictures, they do not replace, they do not define or limit scripture. All pictographs, what I'm using is to illustrate. And that's why we have these up here, to illustrate the scripture. All right? So, When you look at this pictograph, hey, it is the picture of a man right here. This is my picture with his arms raised, kind of right here. A picture of with his arms raised, okay? How many love to surrender to God? Raise your arms during worship. I love it. I absolutely, absolutely do that. And so when we are, and it means to behold, to look, when we are trying to get someone's attention, what do? We're waving, right? Hello, hello, hello. I'm trying to, you know, getting someone's attention. We're raising, we're waving our arms. And so what's so fascinating about this ancient symbol of the Hebrew letter hey is that it's also seen, are you ready to go for a little further? It's also seen as a lattice. Okay? And it's also seen as a window. So hey literally means there's your window and there's your lattice. Okay? Hey means an open window to show or to reveal. I want God to show me things. I want God to reveal to me. I had a young man that visited a few Sundays ago, and we were in the foyer, and he said to me, he said, you know, I really want to know more about God. He says, not just about God, but I want to know who God is. And so the next day, that Monday, I was in my prayer time, and I began to pray for his, I don't even remember his name, but his face picked up, came in my mind. I started praying for him, and immediately God spoke to me and said, text Jose, because it's one of Jose's brother-in-laws, text Jose and tell him, if you want to know who God is, begin with God is love. Because that will keep you busy for a long time. God is love. That's the best place to start. And so that is revelation. God showing me. And so when you think of windows, whether it's a lattice or a window, when you think of windows, this is what you see in Scripture. Windows were relevant to hope. That's what windows are. We think windows is vision, but actually windows is also relevant to hope. Think about this. Number one, Noah's ark had a window of hope. Only one window. Remember, God shut the door. God closed the door, but there was one window made in that ark, and that was a window of hope, right? We know the story. Number two, Rahab's house had a scarlet thread dangling from a window of hope. When the Israelites, the Hebrews, the new Israelites, just crossed the Jordan River and went into Jericho, here they go. They've already marched around the walls. The walls fall flat. You know the story. Except Rahab's, her house had a scarlet thread hanging out this window. And that was a symbol, a thread of hope, a window of hope. Here's another one. Michal, which was David's wife, Michal let David escape out of a window of hope safely. Here's another one. The prophet Elisha had the wicked king Joash, or Joash of Israel, shoot an arrow out of a window of hope. And the reason he shot that arrow was to prophetically symbolize victory over the Syrians. That's another story in the Bible. And the last one is the Apostle Paul. I think we all know the story where he was lowered safely in a basket out of a window of hope. I believe God is trying to tell us something. What is he trying to tell us tonight? God is saying, right here, behold. Behold. What is he saying? Behold. Why is he saying behold? When you look at the name, and there's a lot of debate on this, but many people say the name of God is actually Yod Hey, Vav Hey, okay? It's a Hebrew name meaning Yahweh. They're saying, behold. And God is saying, behold. And what does that mean to me right now? What is God saying, behold? What is he saying to you right now? What is he saying to the church? What is he saying to this nation What is he saying to this era, this age that we're in? Brother Jeremy, he's saying, behold, number one, I am doing a new thing. Look at the scripture, Isaiah 43 and 19. It says, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I receive that. 2025, behold, God is doing a new thing. Number two, he also says, behold, everybody say, behold, how good and how pleasant. See, as a child going to the Baptist church when I was a little boy, I always thought of God being a mean God. And every time I got in trouble, smack, right over the head. Just kind of like my Grandma Brown would hit me with a butter knife, right over the head. Pow. Pay attention, right? But that's not the God. Look, God wants to do good things in our life. God wants to show us pleasant things, peaceful things. Psalms 133 and verse 1 says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell in unity, together in unity. What's what we need then? God is saying, behold, strive or endeavor for unity. The third one, and this is the most important one, because how many can say I have family members that are lost? I do. I have family members that are lost. They're not saved, not going to church, not serving the Lord. Got a lot of them. I've got an older brother that is involved in, well, at one time he was the Druid prince. I guess that's what I got. It's not Wicca, but it's something close to that. And he was hosting, I don't know if he still is, hosting all kinds of ceremonies and different things. And I watched my brother at an Assembly of God church be baptized in the Holy Ghost. So I need to see salvation in my family. I absolutely need it. So, but number three, the next behold is, behold, I come quickly. Jesus is coming quickly. Look at Revelation 3:11. He says, behold, everybody say, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which was thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Revelation 22 and verse 7 says, behold, I come quickly. Saying it again, blessed is he that keeps the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And the third one, Revelation 22 and verse 13, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his work shall be. So what if we all determined then to pay attention, to look, to see the light, to open our hearts and say, God, come in, breathe upon me. I want the old things passed away and I want to become new in you. Listen, there's nothing worth. I always say it like this. Eternity is too long to be wrong. Eternity is too long to be wrong. There's nothing worth holding on to keep you from God's best. God wants to bless you. He wants to prosper you. He wants to show you his love and his mercy. Let's bow our heads and our hearts tonight. Father, thank you so much for this teaching. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for the strength that you've given me to get through what I've been through tonight. And I just believe, Father, in the healing power that you have for me. And so, Lord, I give you glory and honor tonight. There may be people in this room, there may be people watching by online, maybe watching later in this recorded version of this message, whether it's on Spotify or on our webpage or YouTube or Facebook, whatever it may come, that need to just be honest with themselves before God and say, Father, I want you to make my heart that was a heart of stone to be a heart of flesh. And I hear the Holy Spirit say that right now. Somebody here, there may be more than one, maybe some that's watching by online, have bitterness in your heart. Bitter toward God, bitter toward people, bitter toward situations, feel dropped. I've been there. Believe me, I fight it all the time. But know this, that God is full of grace. Grace is the sustaining presence to help us do what's right. And you may be here today and say, I just want my heart to be a heart of flesh. I want to just start. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to start over. You should never be afraid to start over. So you're here today and you say, yeah, God, that's me and I'm ready. One of the worst things you could ever say is I'm not ready yet. Because you're not promised tomorrow. All we have is this right now. And I'm sure those families, thousands of families that have been displaced and lost everything in their fires, whether they're celebrities, didn't matter the amount of money they had, they lost everything, but their life is still there. But you're not promised tomorrow, because some did not make it through that fire. Maybe the winds are blowing in your life and you just need to just come to terms and say, God, I just want you to rescue me, to mold me, to shape me, to forgive me where I have failed. Nobody's looking around, but maybe you're here tonight with an uplifted hand. Say, Pastor JC, pray for me. I'm not going to call you up front. I'm going to embarrass you or anything like that. I see hands that are being raised. Anyone else? Pray for me. Pray for me. Thank you, Father. You're so good to us. Lord, you saw the hands that were raised tonight, and Lord, I just pray for peace and strength and blessings upon them. Lord, you are a real God who helps us face real problems. There's nothing superficial about you. Nothing superficial about us. We need you. So I'm asking you, Lord, tonight that you will just become real to us right where we're at. Breathe upon us. Hey, that letter is so powerful. Breathes light, breathes hope to everyone in this room, those that are watching online, in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. Father, we collectively pray for Donald Trump. We pray for the inauguration. We pray, Father, for Barack Obama. We pray, Father, for Joe Biden. We pray, Father, for all of the leaders, political leaders in this nation. We know that the only hope for this nation is not found through a man, but found through Jesus. And so, Father, we lift up everybody. Lift up this nation. Protect us. Pray, Father, for what's going on in the peace agreement between Hamas and Israel and Gaza. We pray, Father, that you'll just move, Lord. And I know when they, as your word says, as they begin to cry for peace and safety, that sudden destruction is right around the corner. But Father, we're just asking you, Lord, most of all, that you be glorified in everything, and that souls will be saved. And that's the bottom line, that there will be fruit, a changed life, in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody says, amen. Let's stand together. Let's say our Aaronic Kohanim blessing. Let's say our in Hebrew, then we'll say it in English, and I'm going to invite our elders to come and pray with me tonight, Brother Jeremy as well. Yevarei chakal Adonai v'esmarei kal ya'al Adonai panav lekav yaveh nekal yasal Adonai panav lekav yasem lekal shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord shine his face upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you and give you peace. Arise, shine, for the light is come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, their darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee and hear the Lord shall be seen.
To find out more information about who we are, our ministries, and our service times, please log on to our website at myglc.org.